others, some other neighbors, and get some other folks to come and bring their kids also. Praise God. Hallelujah. My God, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank you to everyone who made my birthday such a wonderful time of fellowship and friendship and honor. And I know that it means a lot to me. 60 means a lot to me. Because 60 is the marker that I know unless the Lord gives extra grace and he tarries longer. I got 30 years or so to make everything happen that I need to happen before I go on to my reward. That means I got less time than I had before. And it meant a lot, that area. Praise the Lord. Thank you to my lovely wife who, in preparing for Fully Endowed and in preparing for Tip City and preparing for all this, was able to deal with all that you dealt with. And let's just say there's some corporations that need to hire her for a moment on training, management, and stuff. Praise the Lord to take care of that. Hallelujah. And all the decoration and those that helped you with decoration. Miss Amanda's out of town right now, but the long hours that she put in between all the rest to make sure the presentations and went through all the photo albums and got stuff and went through footage and got hours upon hours upon hours for that. Praise the Lord. And thank you all for those that came, and every card and every gift and every words of appreciation. I've been saturating in it, and I'm not letting my birthday go for a while. I'm going to go back and read over my cards and bask in it a little bit more and just let it saturate it. Praise the Lord. But I will have to say one thing. Praise the Lord. From the party, other than how great it was, y'all cut off too short. I was ready to party for another hour. Folks going home. I was ready to party. I just had to razz you a little bit. Praise the Lord. And it's good to see you all here upon this morning. This morning, the Lord has given me a word that comes from Fire and Glory Camp Meeting. And I want to bring out some things from that. On that Friday service, as Pastor Parsley was getting ready to preach upon that great and wonderful service that we had, right beforehand, I was praying, and the Lord gave me a prophetic download that was absolutely right for the now. And he said, your present and your future collide tonight. And I said, Lord, I hear that. I hear that. And it was just reverberating, and I said to a couple of ministers, I said to Pastor Lang and also to another pastor, I said, the Lord just said this, and they just shook with, wow, what was that? So I said, Lord, should I share it? And I did. And then Pastor Parsley grabbed it up and reverberated it into the atmosphere and locked it in. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I want to minister to you. Would you put it up there? Praise the Lord. The collision course. The collision course. When your present and your future collide. See, a collision is a sudden, inevitable intersection. I'm not talking about an accident. An accident is when people didn't mean to be in the same place at the same time with their vehicle and they bumped. But I'm talking about an on-purpose collision course, one that God has designed and set up that we have to be aware of, or we might be resistant to what he is trying to do. We want to be pliable in the Lord's hands, and we want to know that whatever he's got set up for us, that it's going to come out all right, because you see, he can take anything and turn it around for our good. So once we know that he can do that, then we know it's all right to go ahead and let God do what God wants to do. And just before I kick it into the full gear, I want to say that I'm so proud of the word. If you haven't listened to Pastor David's message from last Sunday morning about three times, please go and listen to it over and over and share it about 400 times on social media. Get all the clips, get it out there, because there's many generations that need to know that it's time to switch from the sugar to the salt. Hallelujah. And it was a powerful word, and I'm so proud. A collision is suddenly a sudden inevitable intersection. Why do I say inevitable? Because the Lord is not going to let us get away without a collision. In a society that wants everything easy, the Lord already got on to me a little bit this last weekend. He said, I don't want you to ever say again to somebody, take it easy. Because we got too much easy going on in our society. He said, I want you to say, overcome. Overcome. Because we're an unstoppable people with an unstoppable faith, because we serve an unstoppable risen Savior. So whenever the Lord puts in our path, we know that God has our best in mind. It is an inevitable intersection, a simultaneous impact of both space and time. Say, I'm going to have a collision. Turn to somebody and say, I'm on a collision course. I'm not going to try to get out of it. I'm not going to take a detour. I'm going to come right into that collision with full faith and full believing that I know that God's going to get some glory out of it. Hallelujah. A collision does not have to be a catastrophe. Rather, it can be a catalyst. Let me just qualify that just for a moment. As Bishop Tudor Bismarck said, I was praying for just any vehicle because I was walking. I was poor, I was walking, but I had faith and I was believing Jesus. But as I was walking along, a car kind of swerved and hit me, and the mirror of it struck me. And at first you say, would you get mad? He said, I turned and I looked, and instantly the Lord spoke and said, believe for what just impacted you, what collided with you. Now engage your faith. And he said, what could have been a moment of saying a few things of anger, he said, turned into a faith moment, because it was a Mercedes-Benz that had bumped into him. He said, if it hadn't been for that moment, that collision, I would have never known to put my faith out. And now the Lord has blessed him, and he drives in a Mercedes-Benz when he gets a chance after traveling all over the world. But sometimes the Lord causes something to cross your path so that you can believe for greater. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is a master at taking collision course and turning it for something that others don't even know. Matter of fact, he says there's some collision courses that are the will of God, but it's not going to come out the way the enemy thought. Either the enemy thought that the cross would be meant to destroy the Lord's life, to destroy life, but Jesus Christ turned it into a demonstration that led to life eternal. Somebody give Jesus a great big praise in here for life everlasting, for salvation. Hallelujah. See, when we come to the cross of Jesus, we're coming to a collision course. The cross itself is horizontal and vertical, meeting at a collision point. It is heaven and earth with the cross suspended between the two as a collision course. Would forever humanity be damned to hell, or would there be one that would stand in the gap and pay the price? The price was the collision, but what they didn't know is that who they were colliding with, what had resurrection life and was and is the immutable, powerful Savior without spot, without blemish, who never sinned. Death collided with a Savior who could put death underneath his feet. The grave collided with one who would blow out the tomb and come out anyway. Hallelujah. Every sin met a Savior that with one drop, he can save you, and another drop, save me, and never run out of enough for everybody that wants to come to the Lord. So there's enough saving grace for everybody. And the Lord wants to save souls. But there comes a collision point. Matter of fact, in the preaching of the gospel, there is going to be a collision course. There's, when you speak the truth about the Lord Jesus, immediately sin is on a collision course with truth. And when truth hits sin, there's conviction. See, when the real gospel hits, there's always hope. There's always hope. I told you it's not a catastrophe. That when people get hit by the word of God and think it's a catastrophe is because they have not yet yielded. They want evil versus good. But when they say, I need this that you're talking about, I need he, this Jesus that's going to give life. I need hope. I need life. I need joy. I need peace. I need this that you're talking about. That's when conviction turns to say, yes, I'm guilty, but I receive the Lord to save me. It is that point that everything turns for good. See, after the cross, somebody say, I'm saved, and I've got an after cross experience now. We're not staying just at the cross. For at the cross where I first saw the light, hallelujah, the burden of my life rolled away. I was there by grace. I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day that at the cross I've got to now take the power that has changed me and move beyond the cross. And we are people that are after the cross. And after that, our salvation and being made new, we keep moving forward. Somebody say, I got to keep moving forward. I got to keep moving forward. I got to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. And how do we do that? First, our daily relationship, not our church relationship, our daily relationship with Christ and his Holy Spirit. We have to do that by getting in the word, by reading about Jesus. Start there. Don't start at Genesis and try to get through the Beatitudes. Start at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out who your Savior is, because the Lord don't put up with no religious junk. The Lord is a very powerful person. He didn't have to brawl, but he could set them back. The Lord was so powerful that when they first came with the soldiers there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And they fell over. So when people say, you know, you shouldn't fall out in the spirit, well, the soldiers did too. They fell out because he said, I am. And the Creator released a word. Now, when they got back up, he had to let them take him, or else all else would have been lost of their life. But I'm here to tell you today that the same Jesus that saved you, that will, you will find his power in word, his word. You will find his power in prayer, just like we did this morning. Oh, so tender, oh, so sweet. You will find his presence in that prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Oh, those times that he wants to walk with you and talk with you. In those morning hours, in the midday, in the afternoon, in the evening, he wants to be there for you all the time. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's just our access. We can do so in the spirit. We've been learning around here that as long as we are in the spirit. Now, I want to clarify something real fast for everything doctrinally. The first evidence of the Holy Spirit was not speaking in tongues. The evidence that he arrived was the wind and the fire, which only showed up in Acts chapter 2. The thing you carry out from being partnered with the Holy Ghost is you've been endued with power, and now you speak with heavenly language, because we find heavenly language and power all throughout the book of Acts, time after time after time, and we know of it right now from 1906, from Azusa, when the power came back because people were hungry. We see the power of the Holy Ghost, that when you pray in tongues, in that holy language, and stay long enough in the presence of God, he, the Holy Spirit, goes into the mind of God and pulls out mysteries about you. I'll turn to somebody and say, I want to know everything God has prepared for me. I want to know it and I want to live it. And he said that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us in thought, because we have a lot of things that try to come against our mind. That's why Paul said, you got to put on the mind of Christ. Think about those things which are just and holy and good. How many know that with everything that goes on, sometimes you have to jolt yourself, and it has to be intentional that I have to turn a negative word and turn it around and by faith and turn it into something positive. I will not dwell upon those thoughts that put me in despair. I will not dwell upon thoughts that put me on the border of depression. I refuse to dwell on those thoughts that cause me to be in regret for something that I'm not even guilty of behind me. For I am moving forward. Say, I'm moving forward. I'm going to keep on moving forward. And like Pastor David said, go, go, go. Hallelujah. Say, there's an eternal dynamo inside of me that when I pray in the Spirit and get in the Spirit, up comes the power of God to rejuvenate my mortal body. And at 60, I'm still leaping. And at 60, I'm still shouting. And at 60, I'm still running. And I told God I want to be 90 and still shouting before the Lord. You can do it by placing God's truth and instructions. Hear me on this. Because if we get our mind right, a lot of people read the word, pray a little bit, get in the Spirit a little bit. But if we don't get it in our mind and then get it into our lifestyle. How do we get into our lifestyle? By taking instruction and a word that looks like last Sunday. I'm not going to be sugary about this. I'm not going to be flavorless. I'm going to be salt. I'm going to reach out and touch somebody's life. I'm going to make a difference in their life. I'm going to reach out, whether it's a risk to whether they like me or not. I'm going to reach out in love and tell them the truth and tell them there's hope and tell them Jesus loves them and keep on going. I'm not going to get so busy that I forget about everybody around me. Shout, I am a goer. And I'm going to bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Is it okay if I just go ahead and preach? I want to preach like I did when I'm in my 30s. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord brought me back from a lazy tongue almost to the place where my liver was bad and had late night sleep apnea and had a thick tongue. That's why I tried to preach and my tongue was coming down wrong. And hallelujah. But now I can speak distinctly and clearly and speed up. My speed before was, but now I can go, and y'all got to keep up with me. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10. And then we're going to read. So let's stand to our feet for the reading of the word in Philippians. Hallelujah. And we're going to read this. Say, let's read it out loud. I want to know. Shout it again. I want to know. Shout it again. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Wait. Forgetting the past. And then do what? And looking forward to what lies ahead. To what? What lies ahead. What am I looking at? What lies ahead. Now, before we finish, turn to your neighbor and say, quit that looking at the past. Keep your eyes focused forward. Because God's got better for you in front of you than what was ever behind you. Thank God for what he brought you through. It has brought you to the place where you can reach out and grab this. Ooh, hallelujah. Let's read from my press. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ Jesus, is calling us. You may be seated. Hallelujah. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. There's a prize. There's rewards. There's a prize. There's rewards. I got to keep moving forward. Advancement is always deliberate and intentional. You never trip into having advancement. You trip and you fall, but you never trip into an advancement unless you trip to the feet of Jesus and then take the instruction that he gives you. Because it's never by accident. Some things that you come into that the enemy tries to tell you were by accident were not accident at all, because that is a collision without purpose. But you have come into it because there was a collision, because it was deliberate and intentional, and the Lord wanted you to face off with this. My son in football, he said, "Dad, what do I do when that guy's about 100 pounds bigger than I am?" I said, "That's where you got to get in their head and then use their weight against them." I said, "When you see them, they're going to look in your face and your eyes. And you just look at them like, I've already seen this before, and you're going down, big boy." Because I learned something, that when they move towards me, I'm not going to be squashed by it. I'm not going to be hindered by it. I'm not going to be damaged by it. I know the moves. And I don't need to move like in the music. I need to move like Jesus. Hallelujah. For in Christ we are becoming who God says that we already are. He has already looked into our future and has already spoke to us. He's taking us step by step to grow us into who he already has purposed for us to be in Christ. That's why we have to trust him, because he can look at eternity. Now, it depends upon how far we yield to the Lord as to whether we get to 76% of that or 100%. We may be at 100% of our potential for today, but then he hits us with the collision course of our future, and our present hits our future, and we have another epiphany moment that God has more for us than what he even told us last season. Let's go to Ephesians 4:15. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way. Say every way. How are we going to grow in every way? More and more. What, say, I'm not doing less and less. I'm doing more and more. I got more and more in me. Because the truth in love is being spoken into my life. I'm going to grow. And I don't grow less. That's shrinking. I grow more and more like what? Like Christ, who is his anointed one, his anointing, and the residency of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to grow more and more into that likeness of the Lord. How many knows the devil's in trouble the more you become more like Jesus? Mm-hmm. So you took out Goliath, now he's got to bring out all five brothers. And they weren't counting on David having already trained other mighty men. And they turned to David and said, "You already took out your Goliath. Just rest right here. We'll take care of these." And these mighty men took out all five brothers. Passing a generation. Because, see, the Lord says he's not just himself. He wants us to be just like him. Paul said, "I don't know what we're going to be like, but when we see him, we'll be just like him." We're growing into that fullness of the stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, "I want to be more and more like Jesus and Christ, who is the head of the body, the church." I want to take you to a little fellow that's my middle name, and show you how he had a collision course. And if you would think that these things are something you can't deal with, I'm not going to go to Job because that's not my middle name. I'm going to go to a young man named Joseph. A young man named Joseph at age 17 was out, and his brothers were doing an evil thing in the business of their dad. And so he went and reported, because he was to be dad's eyes and ears. And it caused a collision course to be set. Because when he told the truth, he engaged a collision course. And then to couple it all off, his dad made it even bigger. And we find that his dad gave him a coat of many colors. And from that point, everything against Joseph was meant to try to strip him of the coat. His brothers stripped him of that coat. tore it up, dipped it in animal blood, and gave it back to his father to say that Joseph had died. We find then another coat when he is in Potiphar's house. We find that because he would not give up his integrity and he would not sleep with Potiphar's first wife and he would not have sex and have adultery in his life outside of where God's covenant was, that she grabbed and took his coat. But we find that no matter how they stripped his outer coat, they could not strip his inner coat. For the Lord had clothed him with integrity. The Lord had clothed him with steadfastness and patience because he was hated by his family. Even his own dad questioned whether he was hearing right or a little bit crazy. And we find that throughout the course of Joseph, that the collision courses, we look at them as how terrible. And if we do not understand Joseph's life here on the collision course, we will look at every challenge and collision that we run into as a problem to cause us emotional frenzy, panic, wondering whether we're saved or not, wonder whether Jesus loves us or not. Where did he say that when he gave us roses, we would not have to understand how to deal with the thorns? You're going to smell a good rose, you're going to have to first check it for a bee, because there might be a bee in there. You better not breathe in through your nose too quick. You might suck a bee right up in there. I ain't never smelling a rose again. I got stung. No, inspect first. But then I was told, I said, how is it that you florists can handle these roses all day? I said, we know how to handle. We know where to put our fingers. We've been pricked a few times, but we know exactly where to put our fingers to handle it, and the thorns have no effect on us. And the Lord is the same way. He wants to teach us how to handle in wisdom and understanding great matters, because we're in training for reigning and in schooling for ruling. So Joseph goes through a lot of pain and suffering and shame, but he held on to the Lord. There's going to come a day. His first collide was with his brothers throwing him in the pit, and they meant to kill him. Only two of the brothers didn't want to kill him. And Reuben came in with an ulterior motive. If I can save Joseph, daddy's favorite son, and I can repair the relationship. And so even if they have ulterior motives, if you're in the pit and God has a plan for you, he means to turn the pit into rescue. Turn to somebody and say, it ain't over till God says it's over. See, because collision exposes the areas that are good and weighty and those that can be damaged. Just because he was thrown in the pit, Joseph didn't try to take his life. All my brothers are against me, everything, it's all over. He didn't try to commit suicide. There was something in him. You don't even read of Joseph crying out and pleading, oh, with his brothers, please let me out. Why are you doing this? In several of the stories, they put that in, but it's not written in the word. The conversation amongst the brothers of what God is doing and what they meant for evil. And yet, Joseph is kind of silent in the pit. We do not get a firsthand information of what. Surely he is feeling rejection. Surely he is feeling the pain of the hatred. Surely he is not inept and he is not totally blitzed out. He understands it. He's just like us as humans. How many have ever felt the pain of rejection of people that were close to you and wondered why that they didn't care about you? But see, there was something weightier in him, that if God gave him dreams from heaven and he hadn't seen them yet and he hadn't felt them yet and he hadn't experienced them yet, I'm still going to trust God, the God of my father. Even though my brothers ain't serving him, I know that God's got a purpose in my life. And what would have damaged him and put him into full sessions for years with Dr. Phil, got him out of the pit. the same weightier that was in Daniel. Throw me in the pit with hungry lions, but I'm carrying something that'll close their mouths. I'm carrying something that I can fall asleep in their fur. I'm carrying something, a relationship with God Almighty, and if he ain't done, it ain't over. So we got to quit focusing on the damage and focus on the good weight that God has given us. See, I'm on a collision course, and I got to focus on the good and the weighty. Ask me why. Because whichever you hold weightier, present or future, will determine which prevails. Whichever you magnify, think about the most, wallow in, worry in, devote all your energy to, if you devote all your energy to a present that is hooked by today, it was yesterday, so what was present then is now a past. And if you weight that as being greater than your future, you'll be stuck in a past present. People get stuck because they are looking at the damage instead of the one who can restore them. When you look to a restorer, he heals wonderfully. There's people in here that what you've been through in your childhood should have messed you up. You should have been coming up on in the post office yourself and blowing up a bunch of people. But God brought you through. And now you're a caring, loving person, healed from that. You don't suffer those rejection nightmares, even though you're up against similar types of things. And some things keep hitting you to try to revisit. But now you're carrying more weight. You just tell the devil it's going to take more than that. See, that's the mindset of an overcomer. That's the mindset of an unstoppable person. Yeah, I've got notes in my private journal of disappointments, but you'll read right after the disappointment, and I refuse to dwell upon this, and I will look at what was positive out of it, and I will draw the good and the treasure, and I will move forward. I've determined to be unstoppable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to determine that too. Yeah, I just heard the Lord say, yeah, you ate a few unstoppable pieces of cake. Now that's over for the year. He's got a good sense. I'm preaching here with him, and he's fixing me. I ate too much birthday cake. He just telling me about it. How is it you're preaching under the anointing of God for God's people and the Lord to correct the preacher? That's because that's what he's supposed to do. If he can't correct me, how can I help you grow? So if you bring me a cake this year, I might just tell you, thank you so much. But no, I might have to share it with other people, but I cannot, because that message on the 17th, the Lord corrected me. I had enough cake for the year. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But whatever is weightier, I've heard people ask, why am I going through this? Because they don't see what's the outcome. They don't see by faith the outcome. The Lord challenged me. He collided with me. I was going through my budget back at Calvary Temple, and I had it all worked out. I'm a good steward. And so on my measly wage that I had, I figured out how I was going to wipe out those credit cards in 37 years. And I just kept taking the same paycheck out further. I had it out 5 years, 7 years. I'm gonna discipline myself. And the Lord said, whoa, right there. I said, don't you think I can't bless you with more 5 years out? I said, I'm just trying to be a good steward and plan out with what I got. He said, but you're not putting no faith in it. That's the lowest outcome. Why don't you trust me with more? When the Lord said that we should go full-time in evangelism, and he said to do it when we only had two meetings. How you gonna help your wife and a baby with just two meetings in the whole year? Faith. And not get a supplement from the church. Because when we stepped out, the check stopped. And pastor used to say, he said, how many like living by faith and a paycheck? And some hands didn't go up. He said, well, then you ought to try living by faith alone. And so we did what God said. And that first year we had 28 meetings. And every year after that, we averaged 30 meetings a year, revivals a year. What happened to our wages? What happened to it? Because it was totally upon the Lord and what would be brought in. Pretty soon I was making double the car payment. See, the Lord been working double a long time. He just gave it to you when he prophesied double. It's been in my life a long time. We paid off the Corsica. We then turned and then got ourselves a van, ordered a van. We started making payments on it. Pretty soon we're making double payments on that van. Then pretty soon we moved out of that little 10 by 50 mobile home with an add-on on it and designed our own 16 by 84. We couldn't afford a house yet. 16 by 84 mobile home that they pulled on in there. It took up two lots and they called us the Palace on the Hill. Because we were the finest looking mobile home in the mobile home park up here on East Kearney. Because wherever you're at, when God begins to bless you and you do it right and do not waste it, it is setting you up for the next thing. We went from the 16 by 84 to living up here upstairs for a few months while we built the home that we're in. We went from a mobile home to a 4,600 square foot home, built it. And our marriage survived through building the home. That's how we knew we're going to make it forever together. Those were the days where prophetess grabbed me by the back of the seat of the pants and said, get them, honey, get them. I don't want to get them. I'm the woman. Get them. Try to put square windows in there after we picked out rounded ones. Pull them suckers out of there and put me ones we ordered back in there. Or we're going to have a lawyer up here. Hallelujah. Sometimes you learn from those collisions. And you learn what's in you. And if there's a stop in you, the enemy's got you. And if there's defeat in you, you are defeated. Because whatever hits you in the collision will automatically expose what's either weighty in you or what can be damaged. If there is no collision, somebody say, if there is no collision in life, you will be devastated by the shock and the weight of promotion. The Lord has to collide with you to set things up for you to get to your promotion. Otherwise, you'll get promoted and you ain't ready. You'll get promoted and it's too heavy. You'll get promoted and you can't handle the pressure. You'll get promoted and you'll lose your mind. You'll get promoted and you'll run to Vegas. You'll get promoted and you'll quit. Turn to somebody and say, prepare for where you're going. That means you got to ask God for where I'm going. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Joseph. Joseph, the Lord turned the pit until it became rescue. The slavery became preparation. People look at what he had to go through, but see, what was in him raised him up to be the head. And Potiphar said, I recognize the hand of God is upon everything Joseph touches. And so Potiphar fired his business manager and promoted Joseph and said, everything that I have except for me and my wife is totally underneath your care. Do whatever you feel to do with it. And Joseph didn't do like some people say, well, I got a promotion. I'm going to pack my bags, take all his money and run. Joseph wasn't a thief. Joseph spent his time for those next few years growing the flocks, growing the wealth, growing the profit line, growing the books of Potiphar, even though he was called a slave. Did not have the freedom to walk out. And so then the next collision is that he gets falsely accused and he gets thrown into prison. And he's in prison for something he did not do.
And God, because of Joseph's faithfulness, raises Joseph up to be the chief one. And the head guy over the prison gives him the keys to care for all the other prisoners. Trusting Joseph won't take off. That he is a man of integrity. And God turns the prison into a place that becomes positioning. Because the prison is in the dungeon of the palace. And you might think, I'm in prison, but you're in part of the palace, but you're just not shifted yet, been given access to the right door yet. I'm blocked and I can't seem to get out. But just wait till God opens the door. It won't be just a door for you to step out and go home. It's going to be a door, because everywhere you allow God to prepare you in the collision, He's preparing you for a promotion. The forgotten place. They forgot about Him for 2 years. He'd help. How many have helped people and they forgot about you? Oh, you're getting real close to the palace now. You've made it through the family issues. You made it through the pit. You made it through being sold into something that wasn't even about you, and you didn't even know why you were there, and you've then been thrown in prison over stuff that you... Some people quit when somebody lies on them. And if you quit because somebody lied on you, you make the world think you're guilty. But the one who stands and lets his integrity speak and the other people's character around them speak, those are the ones that then that accusation can be proved wrong. And they can move forward. But then you got to go through the isolation of having done everything right in all the wrong places. And still trust God. Even though you're forgotten. Because the forgotten place is the last place that pride dies. I'm forgotten, but it's me and God. He even said later, he said, I named one of my children so that Manasseh will tell everyone, I have forgotten the pain of my past and my family. Whatever God has led me to, that's where I'm going. I cut the haters loose. Let's go on. The collision course, and I'm bringing it around now. The collision course, this is the point where your present is no longer paired with your past. Some people have their past Bluetooth to their present. It just comes up in the air. It's linked with a signal. And all of a sudden, a trigger happens, and the Bluetooth starts playing the past. And now they hear the blues over again. They hear the enemy's Memorex. Over again. Somebody said there is a way to disconnect your Bluetooth to the past. When you're connected in the spirit, you're no longer on the same signal of your past. The only things from your past is your testimony. From your past is what you can tell. God did it. 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 And now He's doing more. And we're going for everything. When your present is no longer paired with your past, it is now partnered with your God-purposed future. That because of this, if you're partnered with God's purpose in your future, you can manifest it now. I was reading an encouraging article, and it was talking about how do you promote vision. One, he went through and he said, you know, you've got to have it from God and you've got to write it down and make it plain. And then he put a little note in there that I had not quite grabbed fully. He said, write the vision and speak to it in the as if it's in present tense already now. So the vision of Eagle Heights Worship Center, I'm going to rewrite it into the now, as if we're already there. Because then when you walk in something, say, well, that's delusional. No, that's the way all the others believe out here in the world, and they put up skyscrapers in 2 years. They walk into a meeting. This is what's going to be done. Here's our vision. Right here, look at it. And they've just got an architectural drawing of it. And they'll say, look at this. Here it is. As if it's already there. Get your checkbooks out and help me pay it off. I'm already your best employee. I'm already your best manager. Get your checkbook out and bless me. I don't know. They might fire me. I don't know. No. This is the time where God's people that know how to work as unto the Lord and have a work ethic shine and outshine the rest of them. Because we've got a whole generation doesn't know anything about a work ethic. They're just looking to get one day and then they're off all sick days. Can I have some more sick days off, please? And if you're working two people's jobs, say, I want 1 3/4. I'm going to save you a quarter. I want 1 3/4 pay. I am born free. I'm nobody's slave. I'm born free. Hallelujah. And I'll ask, if you make me do 3 jobs, I want at least 2.5 times the pay. I can handle this. And if you're going to put it on my shoulders, I can handle this. You're going to pay me right. And I'll outwork AI too. Little bitty robot coming around trying to get orders. I'll work that robot too. Because when you start focusing as if you're already there, your mind speeds up to entertain it. That's why I speak to myself. I wrote in my notes again. After I got through with all the blessings and all the people that have blessed me for my birthday and all the honors. Who would have thought that all the commissioners of Greene County would sign a declaration and make yesterday Dr. Don McClintock Day through Greene County? And it's all in the public record. I said, what? So I'm writing all this stuff down. Then, of course, I have to put big letters for what my wife does. I put big letters in my notes. And I look at that and I say, here's what's at the bottom of it. I am the richest man on this planet. Move over, Buffett, Musk, and all the rest of them. Move over, because I'm the richest man on the face of this planet. You can have wealth and have your family on cocaine and not really be wealthy. You can have tons of wealth and your wife sleeping with everybody behind your back and you're not wealthy. You can be wealthy and miserable behind and so drunk that you have to get up afterwards to try to put yourself back together because you're losing the things of God. Why not be godly and wealthy second so that I can help as many people as possible? Hallelujah. Want to move just a little further? When your present and future collide, you have an opportunity to secure your new now. Oh, it didn't go. There we go. Let me read it again since now it's up there. When your present and future collide, that is your opportunity to secure a new now. What you take from that moment, what you drop off, and what you take will determine your present temporary short future and could determine your long future. if you refuse to take the good from it, you will present a temporary future that has dishonored God. But if you take what God gave you and drop the unnecessary act, drop the unnecessary battles, drop the fear, drop all the worry, and grab the answer of God, you will run right smack dab into your new now, and you will look back and say, look what the Lord has done. One of the keys to succeeding and having any goal that's out in front of you is that sometimes you have to look back only for this. Look how far I've come. One of the ladies swam half of the English Channel to set a new record, and she got so discouraged she swam halfway back. One half and one half is... the whole way. If she would have looked back to see how far she came, she would have had faith to know she could make it the rest of the way. If you'll say, look where the Lord brought me from. I'm not going back, but I got to thank him for how far he's brought me when I'm just about ready to run out of breath and I don't know if I can make the next step. And I'm about ready to rest, stop, and quit. I look back and said, look what the Lord has done. And if he can bring me this far, he can bring me all the way through. Shout, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He'll bring me all the way through. Give God a praise right there. So we keep moving forward and upward. We reach up, we reach out, we revisit God's goodness by sharing. We give God glory. Somebody shout G3. We lock arms and hearts and we reach souls for Christ. Say we're going to win souls for Jesus. Yes, we are. We show up because presence matters. We pray, much prayer, much power. We go, touch others for Christ. We volunteer, we pray, we give, we outreach, and we're going to be doing that outreach. Hallelujah. End of this month and in August. Hallelujah. And then again in November, personal and as a church. Somebody shout yes. We get more involved and more invested, because when we're involved and invested, we are with the vision and the future, the greater the positive outcome. Say, I'm building up my outcome. I'm building up my outcome. I want to be more involved, more invested in the vision and the future. It's building a positive outcome. We're going to shout hallelujah till we drop. Glory to God. We pray for it. We prepare for it. We position for it. We possess it. We live it out. Somebody shout yes. Stand up to your feet and say, I'm going for it. I'm on a collision course with greatness. I'm on a collision course with more of God. What the enemy meant to take me out, God's going to keep me in. And I'm going to come up higher and overcome. As a church, we're going higher. As people, we're going higher. In the region, we're going higher. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise. Take 60 seconds and give God a prayer. Going back. So anything that's trying to grab me, get off me. Any hurt, any past, any rejection, get off me. This ain't no bungee ride. I'm not going almost to it. I ain't get off me in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind. Get out of my my emotions. Get out of my money. Get out of my family. Get out, get out, get out, get out. I got a race to run. Hallelujah. Woo. I need you, somebody, to get where I'm at. Woo.
All the way. It makes no difference what other people say. I'm going with Jesus all the way. Well, I'm going with Jesus all the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus all the way. It makes no difference what other people say. I'm going with Jesus all the way. Say all the way.
All the way.
All the way. All the way.
Collision course for you. Meet my healer who now has healed me already. Whoa. I am healed because he said I already have paid the price and you are already healed. So anything else, get out, get out, get out, get out. Hallelujah. If you got trouble in your money, wait a minute. I'm a tither and I give offerings God's way. Meet my source. Meet my source. And now my resource comes. Hallelujah. It's yours. Sing it again.
If you want it, you can have it. If you need it, you can have it. If you want it, you can have it.
Give him praise, shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Hallelujah.
be seated just for a moment while the ushers come. Help me bring my banner. Bring my banner over to here or up here, right here. And then really quick, I want all the folks who give on a monthly basis to Eat 100 Partners to help us with Africa Mission to stand on your feet. Yes, I want to thank God for all of these partners, praise the Lord, that give monthly. I want them to be able to see the screen, so let's put it right over here. Right there. So they can still see. So that kind of can still see. I'm going to go through some stuff real fast. Don't let your shout down. 2024, I'm taking the team over to Africa for our second trip. Hallelujah. I only need a measly budget of 60K. That ain't nothing, just 60K. And so we got 2 years to get it. Praise the Lord. Last time the Lord met us with 32,000 on our first trip, so the Lord can get us 60,000 so I can do up some things that I saw that needed to do without losing support. Praise the Lord. And we go into all the world and make disciples of Christ, teaching the kingdom of God. When we go, this is what you're going to see. We're going to Kenya, Malawi, and Uganda. And then there's others that are joining across the border. We have right now 4 pastors from Teak, Mozambique. And we have 1 pastor from Tanzania that has been connected to the men that we have appointed there. And all of these folks need help. We have got right around 60 churches. There's a few that couldn't wait on us. They didn't want to go through the whole process. They heard the word, but they couldn't stay with us. But that's all right. We're right there around 60 churches, and we'll have more. But when that's a great responsibility. And so I want to just show you. Under Kenya, I have a key man. That's my son, Bishop Festus Mwaso. He's the one there in the red right there in the middle. This is an outlying area that other people won't go to. Last Sunday, he baptized 16 people in water. 14 of them were brand new Christians. And these kids are happy because this is the biggest meal they've had in weeks. And we sent money to make that happen. Really fast. Right when he got there, he was preaching the word. They were fixing the food. The man in the middle came at Bishop Festus with that knife that Bishop has in his hand. Came at him, but the power of God got a hold of that man that was demon-possessed and stopped him in his tracks. And he dropped the knife, and they cast that's what my sons do. They also do what Jesus did. He cast them demons out of that man. And this is the man now getting food and eating, and he hadn't eaten in a long time. The demons wouldn't let him eat. And that's the power of God of what you're partnered with and what God made happen for when we started connecting in 2018. Hallelujah. Over the course of this, and Joseph, you'll love this, besides our trip, we have been able to give 1 million Kenyan shillings to the Kenyan support in these last 4 years. And it just fuels Bishop Festus to go all over and feed people and preach the gospel and get them baptized. Hallelujah. This is another, and he also teaches them. This is another group, a whole other area there in the north Kenya. And he's teaching the Bible and our Bible study of kingdom that 6 of y'all graduated from. He's continuing to preach it to brand new ministers, and that's how we're training them to raise up churches in Kenya. Give God praise. And that ain't all in Kenya. Real fast, here's our orphanage in Kenya. This is when we hit them with the last stuff. I said, get them a treat. And so they got them the orange drink and stuff. We already got them clothing, brand new outfits last year. And we got them to send. This is our orphanage. They have no parents but our head teacher, and that's teacher Okilo? I think, huh? Okilo. Teacher Okilo and his wife, they permanently live there to minister to all these children. And we want to bless them. Amen? And this is Deputy Bishop Gilbert. Now, how do we say that? Is the M side? Wandipwa. All right, praise the Lord. I got to have Joseph's help on some of those. Praise the Lord. This is in Nairobi. This is the church where we were at. This is where Brittany ministered to the school. They transformed the church into a school and every week and then back into a church. And this is the place that we've also helped them get brand new to them, ceiling things, which are really sheet metal, so that they didn't have any more leaks. And you made that happen, Eagle Heights Worship Center. Here's our food giveaway in Malawi and the outer district. There upon your left-hand side is the building that we are helping. They've already got bricks, but they need a little help to expand this because right there where they're standing, where the food has been given, is where the miracles took place in Malawi. The second one on the right is at Bishop Chris's home, and there he's giving out to the folks that are around his home and giving to, and some of them are widows and to other families that are in need. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Here's one of our children's centers receiving food, receiving hard-boiled eggs plus rice, and then smiling and having a big old time because they got food today. When we were there, a little three-year-old came up with his bowl and spoon and just looked at me. I looked over at Bishop, and I said, and he said, we didn't have extra in the budget to feed them today. But this is that same center receiving food from us. Hallelujah. And brand new is a man that visited us while we were over there and sowed into our ministry the last that he had. And that is Pastor Willie Kukriza, which is in Uganda. And this is, he has gone through all of COVID. They got run out of a place. They lost another place. But this is their place that they're renting now. This is the newest church, Eagle Heights Worship Center Church. We're working on the registration with the government. It takes a little bit of money, but this is your new church in Uganda right here. So you can become a monthly partner. Do we have some of those forms or all they need to do? All right, all you need to do is go to our website and click the give button. When you go there, the same PayPal run, if you give by PayPal, it'll also have a thing to give monthly. If you don't want to do the fees, then give by Cash App and Cash App us. Right now, this last week, I'm giving, praise the Lord, but I had to tell folks that I was out in the fund, that I had given everything away that I could give away. And so I need a little bit of help. If we could today, whatever you can, your best. I'm not going to pull hard. Just come give. Praise the Lord. I know that Brother Dave gave this last week, and I already gave it out. Praise the Lord.
This is, I'll do it real quick. This just came from the orphanage I support in Uganda. And this is a lady that observed the orphanage and wrote this. Meet Jean, a young girl who decided to share her life with orphans. I met her in 2019 and I was inspired by the big heart she has. This young girl is right now taking care of 11 children who are homeless. She feeds them, houses them, clothes them, does all the mother could do for her own children. This girl has a heart of gold, and each time I visit her, I'm overwhelmed by the love the children have for her. She is an awesome person. We need more people, such people, in our country, Uganda. Surprisingly, Jean is a stay-at-home person who says God makes ways for her to be able to take care of little ones. She is happy about an angel who was brought to her by God. She says that the angel is in the USA, and he has stood with them for now 2 years, and that their lives have really changed ever since they got him. She says that this person is like a father to the little ones, and that she thanks God for bringing such people in her life.
And that's Dave. He not only gives to the ones that we're doing, he's also helping support as well, Dave and Mila, and we are so thankful for that. If you've given,
today, we want to thank you for your love gifts as we are on a collision course to be and possess all that God has promised. Hallelujah. Give God a praise up in here.